This is Life Rattle, CKLN Story Show. I'm your host, Glenn James. Tonight, Life Rattle Show number 1134 features four stories by Karina Barbara. Karina Barbara was born in 1975 in Warsaw, Poland. She came here with her parents to Canada in 1981. The family arrived in Winnipeg and stayed there for 4 years before moving to the Greater Toronto Area. As her parents moved around the GTA, Karina attended four or five different high schools. You're listening to Life Rattle on CKLN 88.1 FM from Ryerson University in Toronto. Let's listen now to Karina Barbara read her first two stories tonight, After the Show and Insomnia.
King Diamond walks off stage and disappears into the shadows. All right, it's done, and it's past last call, Pook says, and clasps my left hand. Let's go. Me and Pook push our way through the flock of long hair, pierced faces, and alcohol tobacco breath to the cathedral's exit. We step out of the old purple building and onto Queen Street. Do you want to go get something to eat? Pook asks. I look into Pook's dark brown eyes behind his blue-hued shades and smile. I just want to eat you. Pook grins and leads me to a cab. I fall into the dark back seat. Pook slides in beside me. 69 Nassau Street, please. I take out a tightly rolled joint out of my metal cigarette case. Have you not had enough? Pook asks. Yeah, but let's have a few more puffs for sweet dreams, I slur. Pook shakes his head and rolls his eyes. The cab pulls up to Pook's old Kensington Market home. I slip the cabbie a fin and open the left door and shuffle out of the car. Pook follows me and slams the door. The driver zooms away. I open the low wooden gate. Pook walks through, then I walk through. We sit on his damp wooden porch. So did you enjoy the king? Pook asks. Oh, yeah. I look up at the dark, hazy, purple Toronto sky and take a deep breath of the humid spring air. Pook sparks the joint. So did you have fun? Oh, yeah. Pook sucks in a head full of sweet leaf, then passes it to me. That's it for me, he hisses. The rest is yours. He kisses me on the cheek. I'll wait for you in bed. He gets up, opens the black painted wooden door, and disappears inside. I slowly inhale and exhale. I listen to the thundering Spadina Street cars just half a block away and to the meowing of stray cats. That's enough for me, too. I get up and slip into Pook's warm, tobacco-scented home and close the door. I walk into the bedroom. Pook lies snuggled in the burgundy sheets. An orange light from a street lamp streams through the red shutters and falls on his face. Are you sleeping, baby? Yes, but come here. I smile. I unzip and kick off my black ankle-high, high-heel PVC boots. I take off my black waist-cut PVC jacket and black PVC tank top and slide down the black PVC mini and put them on a chair. I crawl under the covers. I press my breasts into Pook's hairy chest. You feel so good. You too, Pook whispers and slips his warm tongue into my mouth. Get on top. No, no, no. I was on top this morning. It's your turn, baby. Pook rolls on top of me. I wrap my legs around him. He slides inside me. His long fingers fumble around in my hair. His loving lips kiss and kiss and kiss me. We really should do more nights like this. Yeah, I can't wait until the summer. I sweep my hands up and down Pook's sweaty body. Ah, ah, ah. Sweetie, can I come in you? Ah, ah, yeah, it's safe. Pook trembles. Oh, sweetie. I press Pook's body closer to me, and Pook fills me with his warm cum. I love you, Karina. I love you too, Pook. Insomnia by Karina Barbara. I lay alone in bed. Light from a street lamp seeps into my room through the wooden blinds. I pull my down comforter over my eyes to block the orange glow. I breathe deeply and wait for the little blue pill to bring me dreams. Thoughts and images tumble around and around in my head. Bills and angry boyfriends and unfinished assignments beg. Remember me. Remember me. I turn to one side, then flip to the other. What are you going to do with your life? What are you going to do with your life? My mind nags. Shut up. Shut up. I cry and howl into my pillow. Boom. A stark truth stabs my heart. Karina is going to die. 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 My eyes open. I lie and stare at the bumpy orange ceiling. How can it ever be? How can it ever happen that I, that me, that which I am, this consciousness, here and now, can one day just cease and not be? How? What is this life? It's a gift, my grandpa told me. How can a train running and running into blackness be a gift? Yesterday, I, a little girl, splashed around naked in the black sea. Yesterday, I kissed a boy for the first time. Yesterday, just yesterday, I discovered love. And today? Today will become tomorrow, and tomorrow will be filled with new dreams and new goals, most of which destiny will never fulfill. Tomorrow I will bury my darling mother and my darling father. Tomorrow I will cry for my youth, and then all my sufferings, my tears, my strivings for something of relevance will matter as much as the flickers of candlelight after the candle is blown out. I sit up on my bed and I grab the blue and white bottle of pills. Life brand, extra strength. Each caplet contains 50 milligrams of diphenhydramine hydrochloride. I squeeze the bottle in my hand. Is that enough to crash the train of sorrow? I wonder. I pop to my feet and throw the bottle at my window. I don't want to die. I don't ever want to not be. I throw on my thick purple faded cotton robe, open my bedroom door, and gallop down 14 steps. I sit on a wet gray stone in the backyard beside a maple tree. Lilacs perfume the humid air. I breathe in the lilacs. Do you know that you will shrivel and decay, and that no one cares? And the next year, new flowers will blossom in your place. I lean my head on the moist bark and cry. The lilacs bounce and bounce in the cool wind and say nothing.
That was Karina Barbara reading her stories After the Show and Insomnia. Now we have two more stories by Karina Barbara. First one being Retarded Love, and the second one, Everything for Pook. Here they are.
Retarded Love by Karina Barbara. The fungus, a product of mine and Pook's retarded love, grows in my womb. I stare out into the vast ocean and dream of living a different life. I dream of being a nymph and bathing naked in oceans and streams and running naked through jungles and deserts and of sprouting wings and flying through the blue sky. Pook lies beside me on my thick pink towel. Heat blisters cover his red, hairy body, but he refuses to shy from the sun. "I gotta be brown, brown," he says. I say nothing. It's our fifth day of our seven-day escape to Cuba, our last try to rekindle our love. We have fought six times since our plane landed. The world is beautiful, but we are ugly, I think. I languidly rise from the towel. Pook stirs, readjusts himself, and presses his nose back into the sand. I walk to the water. The ocean meets my feet. Slowly, I submerge myself into the cool and salty blue-green. Mother Nature hugs me, I whisper to myself. I swim far away from the shore and from Pook. I hear nothing but the faint whistle of the warm, gentle breeze. I dive down to the sand and flip and somersault and splash around like a child. My heart aches from the joy of being in nature, and it aches because the man I love has become an alien. The only words Pook and I exchange throughout the day are necessary words, like, "Do you have the room key?" After swimming and roasting and eating dinner, we make our way to our resort's red-bricked amphitheater and bar. We sit in green lawn chairs by a green lawn table, loosely mounted on concrete. The stars nestle near our heads. Cigar smoke saturates the air. Pook brings us drinks in hopes of raising our spirits. I drink three pina coladas. Pook drinks five beers. "I'm going to get another beer. Do you want a pina colada or something else?" "Just get me water. I don't want more alcohol." Why don't you want to drink more? It's all inclusive." "I just don't," I pout. "It's Saturday night," Pook grunts. I wonder why that should matter. I don't want to drink or smoke or eat sugary things. I'm tired. Pook brings himself another drink and hands me a water. I watch him gulp more beer. He squints at me. A soggy cigar droops from his stubbly, drunken face. Shame turns my face away from his, although I don't know why I feel shame. I look high, high, above to the tops of the palm trees that surround the stage, and wish to be a bird. The band begins their Spanish-Cuban clamor. Flamenco dresses and exaggerated smiles appear below the palm trees. Our frowns isolate us. "Sorry if I'm boring," I moan. "Remember that my body is going through changes." "I know that," Pook yells. "'Cause I'm pregnant." "You are not pregnant. Pregnant is someone who is going to have a child. You are merely inseminated, fertilized." My eyes swell with tears. "Only five more days till I get my womb vacuumed," I remind myself. The dancers grab people from the audience. I leave Pook and shuffle through the crowd of laughing faces to a dark, stinky toilet behind the amphitheater. I sink to my knees and stick my face into a piss-filled toilet bowl and puke up dinner and the three pina coladas. "Karina, are you in there?" I'm sick. Fuck off. Pook barges into the open stall. You're sitting in fucking urine. He slides his hands under my arms, grabs, and jerks me up to my feet. Come, you can retch all you want in the hotel room. I bunch up my long, soiled skirt above my soiled knees and tie it in a knot. Pook clasps my wrist and hurries me to our room. He turns the water on in our shower. Clean yourself. I strip and step under the rusty shower head. I flip a skinny bar of hotel soap round and round in my hands. I smear the soapy foam all over my body. I scrub my knees with my fingernails. I fill my mouth with water and spit it out. Pook's words replay in my head. You're only inseminated. You're only inseminated. You're only inseminated. My eyes grow heavy with tears. I rinse. I turn off the water and wrap a towel around me. Pook sits on the bed, smoking a cigarette. Put the cigarette out. I paid a lot of money for this room, and I want to smoke in it. I fucking paid a lot of fucking money for it too, and I don't want to choke on your fucking smoke. It's always about what you want. I fall on the bed beside Pook and cover my head with a pillow and cry. You fucking hate me so much, Pook. Why do you always cry? I throw the pillow across the room. Why do you always fucking smoke and drink? And why do you listen to the fucking Dayglow abortions? I knew you always hated my music. You never play the good stuff around me. It's always the fucking Dayglows. Or it's some other fucking band that screams about doing drugs and drinking and fucking big fat chicks. It's so all fucking white trash. Maybe that's what you are. Maybe you ought to go and fuck Blondie, the dumb bitch from your club, and drink your face off with her every night and have white trash kids with her, and you wonder why the fuck I'm getting an abortion. Pook throws an ashtray at the wall. Ashes fly and glass shatters. You're trying to kill me, I scream. And you, Karina, are a stuck-up bitch. At least I'm smart and educated. Whatever. Pook takes his beer and smokes and sits on the small balcony overlooking the ocean. The miasmic ash lingers in the air. I sit and cry. An hour or two or more or less pass. Drunk Pook comes and falls on the bed. I didn't mean those things. Just never mind everything. We're in Cuba. Pook, hug me. His loose, half-dead arm drops on me. I snuggle into his alcohol body. Silent tears slip down my face. Tomorrow I'll be a nymph in the ocean again. I comfort myself. Everything for Pook by Karina Barbara. I climb the dingy gray carpeted stairs to my beloved's attic abode. My body, this collection of bone and flesh, strains and grinds with each step. I fear collapse. My head feels like a helium balloon, but it weighs down my neck. I have not eaten for 7 days. I have only drunk coffee and beer and wine and water and smoked cigarettes. I lean on the yellow nicotine-stained walls. They support my ascent up the stenchy narrow stairwell. Oh, still another 20 steps. Oh, what will happen up there? Will he take me back? I will die, I said to him today. I will fade, I said. It will be as you wish, and you will see me no more, I said. You will not die, he yelled into the receiver. I cried back into the receiver and convinced him that to die is all I want if I cannot be with him. He softened. Pook, my darling, please, before I go, please let me visit your home just one more time. Please. Silence. Just one last time. Please. Faceless silence. He sucked cigarette smoke deep into his lungs, piercing my ear with a familiar hiss. With held breath, I withheld my beat-up heart from bursting out of my chest. Okay, he exhaled. Come by around 7. I'll make a pot of coffee. A happy sob escaped my throat. Now let me go before I change my mind. Click. 3 hours to make myself beautiful. In the bathroom, I laid my hands on the spit-stained mirror above the toilet. It threw back a ghastly stare from 2 swollen eyes on the pallid face. When's the last time I slept? 3 hours to make myself beautiful. I dropped the purple robe and underwear and bra I wore straight for 7 days and stepped into the shower. The hot water spit and cleansed a week's sweat. I shaved my legs, underarms, and trimmed my pubic area, just in case. I toweled dry and applied Shiseido Eye Revitalizer and Lancome Face Cream and Oceana's Body Lotion. I tiptoed over to my drawer and pulled out a red push-up bra and matching G-string, just in case. 2 more hours. I sat in the kitchen and lit a cigarette. I rehearsed and rehearsed with desperate ecstasy what I will say, how I will say it, and with what gestures. The ode to joy resonated from the center of the kitchen table. I reached past the tower of butts and ashes and clusters of used cups for my cell. Hello? Karina, can you come sooner? His voice trembled. Yes, he believes me. He's worried. Good. When? Be here in an hour. Okay. End. Beep. I slipped into the black PVC pants he loved and the red latex-like top he loved. I put on the black PVC slut boots he loved and I put on the dark, heavy makeup he loved. I sprayed myself all over with Orgasmo, the fragrance he loved, and flew out the door, down 5 flights of stairs, hailed a cab, and collapsed in the back seat. 69 Nassau Street, please. Pook lurks at the top of the steps. His long, black, fluffy mane envelops his long, strong face. 2 brilliant brown eyes greet me beneath his black, rimmed specs. Hello, Karina. Pook. He stretches out his hand and takes mine. His long arms, beautiful long arms, snake around me and press me to his chest. My heaven. He's not mine. This is just pity, I think, and slowly pull away. He leads me into the main room. I sink back into the nicotine-drenched couch and reach down to the old coffee table for a Monte Cristo cigarette. I light it. The fragrance sparks a memory of Cuba. I smile, half a smile. Cuba, we were there together just 2 months ago. Pook nods. I pass him a Monte Cristo. He takes it and sits beside me and waits for me to talk. You say that you need more time, and I wait and wait, and every minute I wait is an eternity, Pook. A chasm so deep opened in me. Sorrow is all that I am. Past hurt gleams from his eyes. I loathe myself for hurting you, Pook. I killed something so beautiful, and I deserve to die. Hence, I ask you to invite me here one more time. I stand and stretch my arms theatrically. Just one more time so I can see it all, where it all began. I waltz weak-kneed before the wall of heavy metal posters. Slayer, Cryptopsy, Cephalic Carnage, and merciful fate. There, I point to the bed, is where you told me you loved me over and over. Here, I lay my hand on his computer chair, giving it a wobbling spin, is where you gave me the Christian death shirt inscripted, "When you die, I want to die with you" on the back. Remember what you said then? Remember? Pook nods. I'm giving you this shirt because when you die, I want to die with you. I roar with wet eyes. Now I'm going to die alone. Defeated arms collapse at my sides. Fuck! You loved me so much, Pook. Shh! Pook murmurs and lays his hand on my latex shoulder and pulls me back down to the couch. I want to die. No, Karina, you are not going to die, Pook whispers. I hug myself and try to stop shaking. Pook leaves the room and returns with an orange. I'm not hungry. You haven't eaten for days. Eat. I shake my teary head. No, I want another Monte Cristo. It's from me, he says softly. Don't you want to eat a gift from me? I grab it and peel. I shove large pieces into my mouth and mumble, thank you. Pook smiles. His finger wipes moisture from my smudged goth eye. Raccoon, he jokes. Yes, he still loves me. His eyes hear me. This room is you, Pook. Being here is like being hugged by you. He grabs two Monte Cristos and passes me one. Spark. Spark. I shake my head. I will rent a car with the money left on my American Express. I will leave the day after tomorrow. I'll drive towards Winnipeg. Remember our trip there last spring? Pook nods. Of course he remembers. Remember how we stopped beside a rocky cliff on the Trans-Canada Highway? And I climbed on it and took all my clothes off, and you took a picture. That, Pook, was the best time of my life. Tears pour anew. I nab our photo album from under the coffee table and turn it to that photo. See? You looked beautiful, Karina. Yes, surely he still loves me. And then down the road we stopped. We followed a path into the woods and discovered a meadow. We lay down in the aromatic flower bed and made love. Pook, my dearest. He clasped my hand. I shall drive and find that meadow again. I will lie in that meadow. I will put on the Christian death shirt you gave me, and royal black blue silk robe you gave me, and the black cameo choker you gave me, and I will swallow several packages of sleeping pills and drink beer. And then I will lie down, look into the sky, and pretend that you are there just like last time, and maybe before I fade out of consciousness, your face, my darling, will be the last I see. Karina, I don't want you to die. I sit up straight. I love you, Pook. You must know that. Do you want my Nocturnal Mother painting? His moist eyes sparkle. What do you want, Karina? He demands. You don't want to believe I changed. You don't want me, and I cannot live without you, I howl. I sink further and further into the nicotine of the couch, covering my Dior-smeared face with crossed latex arms. As the black earth devours me, tell my mommy and daddy that I loved them and didn't mean to hurt them. No, no, Pook growls. Do you want me so much? Yes, yes, I'll do anything, Pookie. Okay, one more chance, he says. I jump and clap my hands. I wrap my PVC around his waist and press my lips hard into his cheek till they hit bone. But, he raises his voice with a hint of a satisfied smile, you must promise me two things. Anything, anything, my dear Pookie. One, you will seek counseling. 2. If this doesn't work out, you won't kill yourself. I assail him with more frantic kisses and shout, I'm back, I'm back, I'm back.
That was Karina Barbara reading Retarded Love and Everything for Pook. That concludes Life Rattle number 1134. Arnie Ackman recorded Karina Barbara reading her stories. My name is Glenn James. Life Rattle returns next Sunday night at 9 o'clock with more stories. Life Rattle is produced from Ryerson University and was created by Guy Allen and Arnie Ackman. Now stay tuned for Aggressive Rock next on 88.1 FM CKLN.